Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY, done with you training, and done for you SEO options. So there is truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist and use the code Modern Therapist for a DIY course or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your consult for special offers.
Are you looking for ways to attract and retain private pay clients? Thrizer is a payment platform for therapists built to help clients automatically tap into their out-of-network benefits and save on therapy up front. Check out our special link, join.thrizer.com/modern therapist, and use the code Modern Therapists to activate $2,500 in free payments with Thrizer.
You're listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide, where therapists live, breathe, and practice as human beings. To support you as a whole person and a therapist, here are your hosts, Kurt Widhelm and Katie Vernoy.
Welcome back to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. I'm Kurt Widhelm with Katie Vernoy, and I think this is our first international guest on the show. So joining us from the future, all the way from Australia, is Jo Muirhead. She's a professional life changer, and she's here to talk to us about all of the wonderful projects that she's working on. So welcome to the show, Jo.
Thank you very much, or g'day, mate, as most of you are expecting.
Oh, Joe, I'm so excited that you're on. I love what you're doing. I loved meeting you at the Evolution of Psychotherapy conference and getting to give you a hug in person. And just, I love the This Is Private Practice videos that you do, the things that you're putting out there. But I want to give you a chance to introduce yourself. So let our audience know who you are and what you're putting out into the world.
Oh, well, thank you both very, very much. So my name's Jo Muirhead. I am a chief life changer, or professional life changer, as Kurt has just promoted me to. I'm a rehabilitation counselor by qualification, so it's a little bit of an obscure and strange undergraduate degree that I have. I built a private practice called Purple Co, which is the truncation of Purpose for People, where we are a team of specialized allied health professionals. So I have psychologists and OTs and physios. We help people return to work following injury, illness, and trauma. And I started that 9 years ago. I started that in a climate where I was told it could never work. And I've chosen to specialize in a piece of work, or in a range of work that I was told could never work. So 9 years on, we're still doing okay.
Nice. Awesome.
So that's fun. And in 2011, I had a couple of opportunities come to me where other health professionals said, Jo, can you show me what you've done? Would you mind teaching me what it is that you've done? So from them, I developed a love for being able to help other health professionals. And I've worked with so many different disciplines now that it's kind of inspiring. All over the world, where I help clinicians identify who they are, who they serve, how to take that message to market, and then how you build a clinical practice that's actually fulfilling. Because everybody wants the sense of freedom until they realize that private practice is hard.
Yes.
And just like we talk about in a lot of our episodes, of having that entrepreneurial mindset and really being able to stand up in the face of people telling you no.
Yeah.
To really build on that adversity, I guess. It takes a lot of that entrepreneurial spirit. And you talk about being the entrepreneurial clinician. Mm. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm writing a book called The Entrepreneurial Clinician at the moment. And that's how the title came to me, because I see in this day and age that we need to have skills other than just our clinical skills. 10 years ago, we needed to be talking to people about this thing called digital literacy, which now everybody just assumes is a thing that you were born with. It's a part of your DNA. But that's not. We learn those skills. But I've been watching over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, this need that we have to self-promote, be able to give value before there's an exchange of money. That's a key feature here. And be able to embrace this risk-taking. So for me, being an entrepreneur means thinking bigger than just what's in front of you. It's being able to think about what is this, what's happening in my industry, but what do my people need? And being 3 or 4 steps ahead of what my people need to be able to help them get to where they need to go. Because if we stay back thinking, well, the classic example at the moment is all of our professional associations have not caught up with the fact that this is the year 2018. And their rules around marketing and self-promotion are actually self-defeating all of our professions. Now, they're doing that to preserve the integrity of professionalism and to protect consumers. What they don't understand is that consumers actually need our professional associations to become different and actually embrace some of the modern marketing tactics that are out there, because that's how consumers buy services. So when I come back to what is the entrepreneurial clinician, it's being aware of that climate. It's understanding that my good work is useless if people don't know about it. And the only person who's going to tell people about my good work is me, because I can't rely on anybody else to do it for me. And in truth be told, I'm not allowed to have recommendations from clients. They're not allowed, you know, if I see that stuff online, I'm supposed to take it down. That's how it works over here. So there's risk-taking involved, there's being uncomfortable that's involved, there's this strong element of self-promotion, which we often talk about as marketing. It's being able to be agile. So a lot of people go, I'm going to do this, and they're very rigid. Clinicians are awesome at this. We're really good at following rules. These are all the rules. And I'm going to follow all the rules, and I will not depart from the rules. But what happens is by June, you realize the rules are no longer serving you. So you go, holy hell, how do I then go to the left a little bit? And then, oh, but nobody else is over here with me. That's terrifying. So it takes you until October or December, probably 2 years' time, to actually realize that I needed to be on this path. And then the rules have changed again. So that's a very long-winded way of saying what is an entrepreneurial clinic.
I think it's such a good way to talk about it, though, because I think each professional organization has a different way that they look at marketing and communication. And certainly we have some of the same things. I know it's a little bit stricter, I think, in Australia than here, but we can't ask for testimonials. Mm. We can't, you know, put those things out there. So I think it is that same piece of how do consumers actually know what therapists have to offer? How do they know if you're good? Mm-hmm. You know, all of those things, especially if you don't do anything for self-promotion. And I think, you know, Kurt and I talk about this. We did a episode called The Brand Called You. Yes. and talked about kind of how to do that. And I think what really resonated with what you just said was this idea that there's not rules. Like, we're going into this Wild West area and we still want to be legal and ethical. We still want to do what's clinically appropriate for our clients. We still want to do good work, but it's like, if we go out of this tight little zone of where there's laws and rules to actually address what's happening in the modern environment, we can feel like we're really stepping away. And so, I mean, obviously you're singing our tune here. Mm. This is what we talk about. Mm. How do we do this in a way that works? But if we start thinking about it, if we start actually digging in, what are the implications of being an entrepreneur on the clinical process? Like, how does having to do those things in your eyes, how does that impact the work, the clinical work?
Oh. You know what? Yeah, it's like, all right, how long have we got? Excellent. On a really positive, I'm going to start with the positive, because I think it's really easy for us to tear each other down. And we have a thing going on online communities at the moment where everybody is really quick to judge. And I don't want to be a part of that. So,
yes,
when you are in the zone of self-promotion and marketing, when I say self-promotion, it's not an egotistical thing. It's saying, hey, world, I have this knowledge and skills and I really want to help you and I know I can. This is how I help people. I'm not saying rah, rah, buy my stuff, buy all my things, I'm going to rip you off, because that's what most people hear when they hear self-promotion.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
When you become practiced and develop your skills around how to take your message to market, so who I am and who I serve and how I help and what problems do I solve, you find yourself getting into the heart and the head of your client. Because you're doing it at the beginning of the conversation, before they're even in the room, what is it they need to know about you? So we now have two generations of consumers now who are used to value before they exchange money. They are used to being giving stuff. It's like the old gift with purchase. You know, you went to the estate lawyer counter. Yeah, so that is the way. We've got two generations. So it's fairly entrenched in our culture now where you give before somebody says, I think you're pretty cool and I think I might want to work with you. So if to give something that's relevant and useful, you've got to get into the head and the heart of your client. You've got to be able to go, what are they thinking? But more importantly, what are they feeling and they're not acknowledging? So for me, what that's actually done in my work is made me such a better clinician, because I am present with my clients from the moment they turn into the room around the issues that are going on for them, not my assumptions.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think what a lot of clinicians do across all disciplines is we think that when the client comes into the room, we're having the conversation at day zero, and we all think we're on the same page and in the same place and everybody knows what's going on. The problem with that is the clinician's got 5, 6, 20 years of experience behind them. So they've had all of these conversations before. The client never has. This is brand new. It's terrifying, and they're scared that we're going to make them do something that's going to hurt them, right? So we are so used to having these sophisticated conversations that we think are common sense that everybody knows about, and we're actually stopping clients from engaging with us because they're going, I don't know what that means. Because
oh, wow.
Nobody ever turns up to clinical work or to a therapist going, could you please CBT my adjustment disorder so I can transform.
Except if they're a therapist seeking therapy, right? All right,
and that's a whole different conversation, which we may not get into today. I would need a lot more coffee for that one. But
yes,
and I'm using that phrase a lot, because as soon as I say it, people get it. They're like, oh, you're right. I've never had a client turn up going, can you CBT my adjustment disorder? Well, what do they say instead? I can't sleep. I'm scared. I'm feeling fragile. So if we had a client who turned up and said, I want you to CBT my adjustment disorder, we automatically go into diagnosis. We automatically go into the structures of CBT. But if you've got a client who turns up to you and says, I am terrified. I saw this incident and it has really freaked me out, or I cannot go home because I'm scared I'm going to lock my kids in a cupboard. The way you approach that clinical work right from that outset is completely different.
Yeah.
What I think it means is that we have to develop a maturity around our clinical skills so that we are not so reliant on process. We have a really sophisticated consumer base now. People have more information at their fingertips than we've ever had. They probably know as much about their diagnosis as we do. They've probably Googled it, because that's what Dr. Google exists for. And I don't know about, I have people turning up with their own diagnosis, and I'm going, how the hell did you come up with that?
I've had that too. I had somebody come up with a really complex diagnosis, and I was like, I've never heard of this, but this is so what you have.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Uh-huh. Okay, now we have something to work on.
That's right. So we need to be able to be professional but flexible enough to go, well, does the diagnosis label really matter? And what does this person need from me right now? And how am I going to help this person get to where they want to go? Because really, diagnosis is useful for helping us have a context, but it doesn't help us in the moment in terms of function.
No.
So for me, being an entrepreneurial clinician, I think has helped me understand people better. I keep saying to especially mental health professionals, we are the experts in human behavior. We should be awesome at this.
Yep.
But it means getting outside of our boxes and our rules to actually look at people as people and not as a set of diagnostic criteria.
Simplified SEO Consulting's team of mental health professionals genuinely want to help you attract more of your ideal clients with a proven on-page SEO process using the strategies that are most effective for therapist websites. They know SEO is an investment, which is why it is so important to find someone who aligns with your values and understands the importance of building your private practice in a meaningful way. Simplified SEO Consulting hopes to be that team for you and your practice.
The expert team would love to talk with you during a free consultation to figure out the best fit for your SEO journey. Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY, done with you training, and done for you SEO options. So there's truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Be sure to ask if their innovative content network is a good fit for your website. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off a DIY SEO course with code MODERNTHERAPIST, or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off your done-for-you SEO program onboarding this spring.
Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern-therapist.
In your work with clinicians all over the world, you're exposed to a number of different cultures, a number of different approaches to things. How are you seeing this translate in Australia, in Europe, in the United States? Is there groups of people who are ahead and are really able to embrace this? The system allows them to do that a lot sooner, a lot easier?
You're probably not going to appreciate this as much, but you guys in the US have this, it's an easier entrepreneurial journey for you because it's a part of your ingrained culture. Like that's how your nation was started. Mm-hmm. The biggest challenge that I've seen in the last couple of years is just the system of government and the changes around your system of government. And I know this is not a political, but that has massive, massive implications. And what becomes frightening is individuals not understanding the implications of that. Most Europeans have a very big understanding of what's going on in the world. They have much broader worldview, much, much broader worldview, and they know the implications of decisions being made in the US and what that's going to have on practice in Europe. You think you've got a lot of rules to follow? You don't want to go to Europe. the European mentality is much more about the common good. How do we do this for the common good and for the good of everyone, which makes it a little hard when you're dealing with individuals. Japan is fascinating. Japan and Korea is fascinating. They are probably the most rule-driven societies I've ever met, and trying to help them. I've had some amazing Japanese occupational therapists, funnily enough, because they've got this aging population. It's actually an epidemic. They've got no one to support their older people because they had a stagnant population. See, this is what happens. You need to know this stuff. but helping a Japanese person and a Korean person understand that they're allowed to have their own ideas, their own thoughts, and their feelings are valid, and watch them come alive and then go, so how are we going to take this to the marketplace in an environment where it's, these are the rules, you don't have feelings, we just get the process done and please give me a checklist. And I'm being very simplistic, and I'm not trying to minimize anybody's experience at all, but you asked me a question on how it compares.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Australians don't realize how small we are. We like to think that we're as big as everybody else. But the population of Australia is less than the population of California.
So, goodness.
Yeah, surprises everybody when I say it like that. So we are learning from all over the world because we have this massive worldview. If we didn't, we'd be a very insular penal colony. and I think we can take, we're very good at taking what appears to be working from other parts of the world and applying it to a much smaller population. So if it goes wrong, it doesn't hurt so many people.
Well, and really what I'm taking away from this is that the culture that you're working in is definitely going to affect where your entrepreneurial opportunities really are. And that, especially for our listeners in the United States, is that the barriers to be entrepreneurial are fairly low. It's really about getting past our own issues and being able to put ourselves out there to really take our idea.
Absolutely. And getting the right people around you. I see that's a big problem. So you a lot of people say we need more rules, we need more regulations. Oh, hell no, you don't. What we need to do is embrace the ethics and professionalism that is in our code of conduct, and make that the basis of our rules. This is how I conduct myself professionally. And then I'm so surprised at how many people cannot tell me what their code of conduct says.
Kurt can tell you. That's one of the things he loves.
I will tell us how to behave all day long.
It's frightening. It really frightens me because people will say to me, but my professional association won't let me do that. And I'm like, what? That's weird.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Can you and then I go into, can you provide me some evidence of that, please? So then we usually have to go and find it together because I don't know how to find it. And then when you read the code of conduct or the rules around, especially around client engagement or something, and they go, oh, I didn't realize that. Wow. Okay.
That's so interesting. I think there's a lot of things that people will assume because a lot of people say, and I think it does come from a place of fear. I think it comes from a place of, this sounds too judgmental, but thinking small, kind of thinking in just kind of today versus entrepreneurial, looking into several steps ahead, that kind of stuff. But I think there's oftentimes that therapists get in their way all over the place.
Oh, good.
You know, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of that. So what do you think are the biggest ways that therapists get in their own way?
Oh, okay. I'm going to my notes now.
Okay. she's unrolling a very large scroll right now.
Okay, so the first thing I said, and I've tried to make this really concrete because I didn't want it to be all about, you know, esoteric mindset stuff. But if you go to school and you become a licensed professional, mental health professional, you've invested time, energy, and effort to do that, right? You do not have an inherent right now, and you are not entitled to know how to run a business. So yes. If you decide that the only way you can invest in learning how to be a business owner, which is what a practitioner private practice is, if you decide that the only way you can invest is by looking for all the free stuff, all the cheap stuff, and all the easy stuff, please go and get a job.
I am so with you on that. Oh my gosh.
The point.
So many people don't want to invest at all. They're like, what do you have for free? I mean, there's a lot of amazing free resources, but if you really want to step up, you've got to invest in yourself.
And even if it's, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. So if you have never run a cash flow budget forecast, you can learn. And you should know that. If you don't know how to do SEO on your website, you need to know enough about that to be able to delegate it appropriately. Because the other thing I see is clinicians want all the alternative sources of income yesterday. So I'm going to,
oh, yes.
I want my, they haven't learned how to sell themselves enough to be able to fill their practice to a point where they're comfortable with the revenue that's coming in and they've got enough space in their life to then work on the next project. So I see this all the time. My practice isn't full, so I'm going to go and create an online program. Selling an online program is a completely different skill set to selling your services, which is completely different skill set to selling a multi-clinician practice, which is a completely different skill set to selling coaching service, which is a completely different skill set to being able to speak from stage and get paid $5,000. Oh, how many people turn up to me in a consult call 2 years after graduation going, I want to be a keynote speaker and start charging $5,000 a keynote?
Oh, dear.
I'll throw a quick plug into the Therapy Reimagined conference that Katie and I are hosting.
As you should.
We're hosting it as the keynote. We're not making $5,000 on our own keynote.
I've never been paid that, and I do a lot of speaking. It's only in the last 2 years that I am now attracting a fee. People come to me expecting to pay, and that's great. For me, speaking isn't speaking for me is a marketing tool. I do it because it works, which is why I do the This Is Private Practice videos. I didn't, that was hilarious. That was me. I started that as a rant about my telco. If you go back to the beginning, you'll see it's 3 months of me going, so Telstra still haven't fixed my problem. And guess what?
That is hilarious.
Guess what they told us today? They told us that they've been supplying, that they've been charging us for something for the last 4 years that they haven't been able to supply. Wow. Wonder where that recording's gone. So it all started with me just going straight to camera and not even thinking about my environment, all the things we're told not to do when we set up a video blog. And yeah, this is what's happened to me today. And I think we need to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. And now we're into nearly 150 episodes and people turn up. They're expecting me to be there. They want to know what we're talking about. I get great feedback from people, find it very empowering, and it's been shared all over the world. So I'm like, okay, let's do that. But I don't get paid for that.
No, it's a marketing thing.
Yeah.
So I want to switch gears just a little bit because I love that this is private practice and I've gone and read blog posts. You know, I'm a little bit of a fangirl here. But you talk about the realities. Mm. Like, you lay it out. You know, there's myths about, like, do your, you know, your automated income or your passive income, that's what it's called, passive income. Make six figures, do this thing or that thing. Like, there's all of these things that are myths and sales pitches. And And my experience is that a lot of the people I work with are like, well, I should be able to do this. All these people are doing it. I'm like, no, they're really not.
Oh, God, no. You know?
And so, you know, you have such a great perspective on this. What do you think are some of the most harmful myths that have been put out there? Because I feel like this really impacts people's self-esteem.
Oh, God, yes.
It impacts their business plans. I mean, like, there's stuff that's going down that is just not right. But I think I'd love to hear your thoughts on what the most harmful myths and, you know, promises that people make to therapists.
Okay, some of the things that I've seen that really scare me is just call yourself a coach so you don't have to worry about your state border controls.
Yes.
So coaching and therapy, two different things, very, very different things. And you guys are in a highly litigious society. You are so ripe for a lawsuit against somebody who pretends they're a coach.
No, we're not, and I'm going to sue you for
excellent. Come at me, because I just upped my my opinions are my own, not Kurt's opinion. disclaimer. So I think this word coach is being misused a lot. I use coach in my title because I've actually gone and trained in it. I see a lot of people doing bossing around. I see a lot of people doing training. I see a lot of people teaching a technique or a tactic that they learned and calling themselves a coach. So I think we need to be a little bit careful about that. I think that the therapists out there are so overwhelmed by the choices that they have that, and there is a lot of information being sold. And what therapists inherently need, and this is a big generalization, but most people need help to implement. So if you go and buy a course, you need to know that you will do it, that you'll implement it, and that you'll be able to review what you've done. So buying a $99 course might sound awesome. I buy a $99 course and build a list of 15,000 people. Well, that's great if you do the stuff.
Yes, and if the stuff actually works.
Well, most of the time, most serial or online entrepreneurs will have a lower priced item to hook you in. And then they have an ascension model where they go 99, 150, 500 a month. And when you're sitting there reading this information, you go, I haven't a clue. I don't know how. Oh, my God. What else have they got for me? And you realize I've not got to pay $500 a month to get the support I need. It's like, yeah, you do.
Yep.
So, and we're not being sold a lie. That's just the way we have learnt to shop. We buy one thing first. If we test it out, if we like it, then we buy another thing. If we test it out, we buy it, we like another thing. So nobody's doing anything untoward here. It's just all these therapists seem to get really offended that, you know, her $20 stuff was really awesome, but what I needed was her $1,000 stuff and I can't afford a $1,000 stuff. So work with somebody to help you get to the $1,000 stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Another point, everybody wants results in advance. Prove to me that your stuff works, Joe.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I've been there.
I've had an online conversation with someone, and it's bizarre. It's just like, well, how would you help me? And I'm like, well, who are you? Well, how would you help me get to my business goals? What are your business goals? Well, how would you help? It's like, what do you want to do?
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that's not uncommon. So I know I'm pretty good at helping people think. That's one of the gifts I have. Let me help you think about this so that you can make some informed decisions. I'm really good at that. I'm really good at pulling out the layers of the cake and working out where we need to start and then putting the layers back so that the jigsaw puzzle is all nice and in the right place at the right time. But I can't do that if your expectations are completely unreasonable.
Amen.
Wow, this might be the most listened to, and I might become the most hated person on your podcast.
Thrizer is a payment platform designed for out-of-network therapy. As a therapist, you would use Thrizer to charge clients for sessions and collect your full rate up front. From the client's perspective, Thrizer links to their health plan, so insurance claims are automatically submitted for them upon every charge. From there, Thrizer manages the claims end-to-end so that your clients don't have to worry about manually submitting super bills or getting on calls with insurance. The best part? Thrizer allows clients to only pay their co-insurance portion for sessions, while Thrizer covers the rest of your fee and waits for reimbursement on their behalf.
They also offer you an instant benefits calculator for free, allowing you to provide upfront transparency to prospective clients on their out-of-network coverage. Therapists only pay a standard 3% credit card processing fee per session with no additional fees. Visit join.thrizer.com/modern therapist to get started and use our promo code Modern Therapists to receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.
And I think the other thing we need to understand is that not everybody needs to be in private practice for themselves. It's actually okay if you are a clinician and you love your work and you've got an agency or someone else's practice. We need you. We actually need the people who want to work with the clients and do a good job. I'm every day I wake up on and look at Facebook and go, I wonder who's decided to become a practice building coach today. Who is going to be left to treat the people? Who is going to be left? We can't rely on new graduates. That's not fair to the people who need help. So I've been doing this work for 20 years. I can tell you the way I work now is completely different to the way it was when I was 5 years out, which was completely different to 12 months out. So not everybody needs to be doing private practice for themselves. Not everybody needs to be a coach. Not everybody needs to be developing an information product. Your responsibility is to work out what's going to work for you now and into the future. And it will change. And it's okay. But you can't, yes, you cannot rush this stuff if you don't have time. So when people come to me and go, Joe, I really want to work with you, it's like, great, you're going to be investing this much money a month, but you need 4 hours a week to work on this stuff. The money never trips people up. It's the 4 hours a week.
Interesting.
If you haven't got 4 hours a week to work on building your business, then I'm not going to take your money.
Which is incredibly fair, because plenty of people out there would take your money and then just keep telling you that you need to find the other 3 hours and 58 minutes outside of that transaction.
Yeah, I will help people find the four, but it's, if you haven't got an understanding that you need to invest time in it, you've got to learn new skills. You've got to learn new ways of thinking. Stuff is going to come up that's going to be really uncomfortable. You're about to go on this journey of self-discovery on stuff you thought you left in childhood. It's coming back to visit.
I want to go back to a point that you made earlier that's coming back up now, is that it does take time and money to invest. And there's a lot of therapists who undervalue themselves, mm-hmm, and expect therapists or coaches to help them out of the goodness, yep, of their hearts. And it's not investing the time, it's not investing the money. What do you recommend for people who are looking to make that next step in their business as maybe the best investment if they are choosing between a couple of different services or packages? Where should they look at first?
Yeah, so everybody wants me to say marketing, because that's what everybody wants. They all want to go to the courses or the people that are going to help them fill their practice. The problem with that is if you don't know how to manage a full practice, you're going to fall apart and you're just going to keep hitting this upper limit problem all the time. And you'll go on a new merry-go-round and you will become sick and you'll become burnt out, because I've seen this, 20 years, I've seen this. I lived that life for 15 of them, so I'm pretty experienced in that. So I think the first place you need to start is where you work out, what is it that I really want? Who am I and how do I best serve people? So it took me a really long time to work out I didn't need to serve all the people with all the problems. There are some client groups I'm not a good fit for, right? But we're all taught. I have yet to find a academic school where we are not taught. You do the work for all the people who turn up in your room and it doesn't matter if they could pay or not. You guys actually have streams inside social work programs in your schools over there where that is being taught as subject matter.
Oof. No good.
No. And that is so unfair. It's not just unfair to us as clinicians. It's unfair to us as a profession. Like, it's actually,
but it's also unfair to society, right? Because if I'm working with every client, no matter whether or not I can treat them well, there are clients who are being served in a way that's not ideal.
No. And it's not.
And I'm getting burned out and I'm going to be a horrible clinician.
That's right. Exactly. So I think we have a responsibility to work. So if you love seeing clients, so I have a client at the moment and she'll see 12 clients in a day, but she'll do that 3 days a week and she's brilliant at it, but that's all she does. Clients. And then the other 2 days, she does the other things that she needs to do to build that. Now, when I first met with her, I went, oh, nobody can do that. That's appalling and don't do that. and she proved me wrong because it works for her. It would never work for me. And I think she's probably an outlier, but it works really well for her. Now, I know that 3 days of delivery with clients in a week, not full days, but 3 days where I'm delivering with clients a week is enough. I need the bookends to my week to help me be settled and grounded and work on all the other frigging things that I've got. Sorry, that's a bad word. All the other awesome entrepreneurial things that I've got in my world because they all need time and attention.
Yes.
So you need to find someone that can help you unpack who it is, who you want to be, how you want to be perceived in the world, the brand new stuff. What is the type of client experience that you want your people to have and then build from the ground up? So how do you go out to market and then present this message? So I know everybody just thinks I need the next marketing hack and how do I make Facebook work for me and who's doing videos really well and getting clients, so I just need to do videos really well. You're missing the point. The tactics come after you've done all the work on the strategy, and you cannot start working on strategy until you work out where you want to go. Yeah, there you go.
I love that. I love that so much.
I am the anti-7-step system person. I've tried that. It did not work for me. I've never been able to work with clients and take them through this particular process. People are people. Everybody's different. Their environment's different. Their desires are different. The way they express themselves is different. So there's no, I don't think there's a packaged way of going step one, step two, step three, step four, especially in the beginning, because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And it's so ironic that this is what we work with our mental health clients on each and every session of express yourself, figure out where you're going, develop the plan, then figure out how you're going to do it, that we're so miserable at doing as business people for ourselves.
So the key there, Kurt, is that the clients come to therapy and invested time, energy, and money to come and work it out. So therapists, if you want to build a business and you want to do this in a way that's going to fulfill you and not burn you out, not make you sick, not make you broke, you're going to have to bring people around you. And not just mates or friends that will tell you what you want to hear. You need people who have got your back, but have got your back in such a way that they can say to you, stop being a pork chop or a banana fruit cake. Okay. And you need to settle down and do the right things at the right time. Your friends don't even have to know what they are, but you need to have people in your world who go, this doesn't look right, or you don't seem right. I'm so grateful. I've got a group of people around me and they can tell from my This Is Private Practice videos, Joe, you need some time off.
Oh, I think that's awesome. I think it's wonderful. So we could talk with you for hours and hours and hours, but unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time. How can people find you if they want to work with you, if they want to watch your This Is Private Practice? Like, how do people find you?
Okay, the easiest place that I am finding that people find me is on Facebook. And the This Is Private Practice videos I'm now doing live to Facebook. I know I grew up and put on my big girl pants those days. That was terrifying. but there is a YouTube series, so you can type in This Is Private Practice to YouTube and hopefully they'll come up. I don't know. I've never tried that. I have a website, joemuirhead.com. If you're interested in knowing about Purple Co, that's purpleco.com.au. I have a email list where you get information about stuff that's coming up and events that I'm a part of or running, and my blog posts will often go out as emails and just some interesting stuff that way. So I encourage people to join that. And if you join that email list, then you're going to get the first offer on the Entrepreneurial Clinician book when it's released either this year or early next year, depending.
Nice. I'm on the list, so I get to get that book. Woo-hoo. Thanks so much, Joe.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we'll include links to everything that Joe just said in our show notes. You can find that on our website, mtsgpodcast.com. And until next time, I'm Kurt Widhelm with Katie Vernoy and Joe Muirhead.
Don't forget, we have some special offers from our partner, Simplified SEO Consulting. Get 20% off a DIY SEO course with the code MODERNTHERAPIST or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off of your onboarding to the Done For You SEO program. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist.
Remember to check out Thrizer. They are passionate about making out-of-network therapy work for everyone. Clients save upfront on therapy while therapists earn their full rate. Get started in minutes on join.thrizer.com/modern therapist and use the promo code Modern Therapists and receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. Learn more about who we are and what we do at mtsgpodcast.com. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes.